Back about, I guess it was in 2006, I was at a conference down in Australia, and there was a fellow there from England who was talking about the differences between isohydric and anisohydric species. And at the time, it didn't seem to make much difference to me, but as over the years, as I've collected other data, I keep going back to it, and it has some sort of quirks to it that I think is going to be quite important in the irrigation strategies for the large trees. An isohydric species is a species that regulates the water potential of the tree by closing stomata and responding to moderate matrix potentials or vapor pressure deficits. So in other words, if you start getting a vapor pressure deficit up of maybe 1.5 or something like that, the stomata start closing. An anhydric species is one that maintains transpiration that tracks the vapor pressure deficits. So maybe in the morning, if the vapor pressure deficit is low, the transpiration rate will be low. As the day goes on and the air heats up, the relative humidity drops, the vapor pressure deficit increases, the transpiration rate of the tree increases. Generally, the transpiration rates are totally independent of soil moisture until you get to very low levels. Now, it turns out that in Florida, the Quercus virginiana, which is a native tree here growing in the sands, is an anisohydric species. And over the years, looking at some other trees as we've been growing them out, we discovered that the Umbus parvifolia alli, the Chinese elm, is an isohydric species. And so over the years, by collecting data in different places and whatnot, probably over the last 10 years or so, we've sort of pulled together this picture of the differences between the two species and how it affects the irrigation rates. Some of this work came from the large weighing lysimeters that we put in Apopka, about 20 miles from here, in 2002. The live oaks, we were measuring the water use on these trees from 2002 or 2001 to 2006. And the elms, we were going from 2006 till 2011. We also did some studies with the same two species in a rainout shelter. It's a single layer of plastic. We had these in tripod lysimeters, so we were weighing the trees every half hour. They were in containers, so that sunk into the ground, so we weren't getting heating. We were trying to get it as close to possible into normal conditions. For these, we would take in the greenhouses, we would take the trees and look at the transpiration rates using different systems, since we were doing this over several years. For the trees in the large lysimeters, we were measuring to model conductance occasionally throughout the summer, three or four times on the different trees. We had three replications of the species. We were quantifying ETA on a daily basis for the 6 years, and we were using an LI 1600 barometer, because this was back about 2003 or something like that. For the gas exchange for the trees inside the greenhouse, we were looking at, again, the tripod lysimeters. We were using an ADC gas analyzer with an open flow on it. And again, we did this, we were collecting this data over the course of about a year, swapping out trees to make sure we weren't getting things that were root bound. If we look at the photosynthesis rate, and apparently my stuff isn't working quite right, if you start here with the Umbus parvifolia, you'll notice that the photosynthesis, things rather touchy if whoever uses it again. The photosynthetic rates were quite high, up to about maybe 25 bars. We were measuring, we would take and measure the transpiration and photosynthesis rates, and then we would cut the stem off and get the water potential measurement off of it immediately. By the time we get over to about 30, the photosynthesis is pretty much shot. Most of it, as you see, we took this over a year's period of time. We were getting photosynthetic rates of around 16 maximum. For the live oak, you notice that the photosynthetic rates sort of come down as a linear curve or a straight line. At very low water potentials, we're getting quite a range of transpiration or photosynthesis. But as we start getting up around 35, 40 bars, we're still getting photosynthetic rates off these trees. If you look at the transpiration, again, for the Chinese elm, which is isohydric, once you get out here about 20 bars, this transpiration is pretty much shut down, and we're only getting a maximum of about 8 millimeters per meter or millimoles per meter squared per second at the highest rates. Live oak, though, we're getting transpiration rates up around 14, almost double. And the transpiration rates are staying quite high up until we get down to maybe 25 bars, which for the elm is pretty much shut. And we're still getting quite high transpiration in October up at 40 bars. Some of these could have been a little bit higher, but I only have my 42 bar gauge on my pressure bomb when we're doing this. If you look at water use efficiency, again, starting off with the elm, the efficiency can be quite high up to about 30 bars, and it tends to increase a little bit as you start getting into the higher water potentials. This is because the elms are closing their stomata, so the efficiency would go up. For the live oak, though, we don't really see any change in efficiency much until you get about 25 bars. So these trees have gotten quite dry before the stomata start closing down on them. Now, when we looked at the trees in the large lysimeter, and this was the transpiration or the stomata conductance measured on the trees, and I guess they were probably 100-gallon pots at that point. This is sort of a composite of a couple of different, of three or four data sets. You can see that the Chinese elm was somewhere around 175 on average for the stomata conductance, but the live oak was somewhere around 400 to 450 micromoles. We'd actually measured up over 500 at certain times of the year. So the live oaks are transpiring almost double on a per square centimeter basis as the Chinese elm is. Now, when we on the large weighing lysimeters, we're able to track the water use on the trees on a daily basis. We're taking measurements of truck caliper and canopy spread every 3 weeks throughout the growing season, which basically started about the 1st of February until the middle of December. And if we look, just focusing on the, the red, you can see that for the live oak, the average water use per square inch of trunk area at a was about 2.7 gallons per inch cross-section area of the trunk, and we had a really nice R-square over this 5 years of the data. But if you go down to the elm, you'll see it's up almost double. So that the elm's the transpiration rate per trunk cross-sectional area of the woods was almost double on the elm. Live oak is a ring porous species, where the elm is a ring diffuse species. So when we came up, and I had never really calculated up until the last minute to determine which species required the most water to get up to a 5-inch trunk caliper 12 inches off the ground, it took a little bit longer with the Chinese elm. But just out of curiosity, how many people would think that the Chinese elm require more water to get up to 5 inches in caliper than the live oak? Just give me a raise of hands. Only one. How many people would think that the live oak, which is anisohydric, would require more water than the Chinese elm? Okay, we got about 1 to 4. Well, it turns out that it took almost double the amount of water for the Chinese elm to get up to the size of the live oak. And the reason why I think this happens is the fact that the Chinese elm, remember, this was in containers. In the ground, it may be a different story. But in containers, even though we were watering them back to fill capacity every night and putting back 50% of the water that they had used between sunrise and 1 o'clock solar noon every day as we were doing this, I think we were still getting some stomatal closure on these trees. And part of that reason is, this is some data that, again, I pull stuff together that we had. If you look at the bottom, again, there's the mouse there. This is the average vapor pressure deficits for just, like I said, about 20 miles west of here over the 3 years of 2009, 2010, 2011. As you notice, the average vapor pressure deficit is less than 1.5. Normally, it's considered 2.5 to be the break-even part for the stomata start closing. But if you look at the maximum for 2012-2013, you'll see that even though Florida is quite humid, as you've experienced the last couple of days, we still get vapor pressure deficits almost up to 4 this time of year, mainly because of the fact that it'll be like yesterday before the thunderstorms come. The temperature gets high, the humidity drops quite low, and the trees just end up shutting down. So with that, basically what it comes down to, depending on which type of control of the transpiration the tree has, it may be that for the isohydric tree species, it will take more water to get up to the same size as an anisohydric species because the stomata are closing down because they're so sensitive to the vapor pressures. And with that, I think I can take about one or two questions.